part of the key of changing the world really is moms and dads. This morning I want to talk about I want to talk about passing the baton. I brought with me in here a relay baton. Actually had gotten this close to 2 years ago, I guess when Dr. Marianne Brown had passed, who was one of the spiritual coverings of this church, and felt like there was a baton passing that was going on, not to me as an individual, but to lots in a generation. I want to talk to you about passing the baton, and we'll look at that later. But some of you may know this historically from several years back. Actually, in 2008, in the Olympics in Beijing, China, the United States 400-meter relay team was expected to win the gold, or at least the silver medal, in that competition. After all, there were four of the fastest men in the world at that time running on that USA Olympic team. Each one would run 100 meters and make the combined distance of one lap around that Olympic track. And after a flawless first and second handoff of the baton, the unthinkable happened. As Darvin Patton rounded the third turn, the United States was getting poised for victory. The final handoff from the anchor to the anchor leg was spoiled because the baton fell. And even though in the crowd you probably could not have audibly heard that, it was huge there. It did not matter anymore that the anchor leg of that relay was probably, again, one of the very fastest men on the face of the earth. In that one moment, the hope of the gold medal was dashed. But USA fans were comforting themselves with the fact that the women's team was also expected to medal in that same event that year. Almost unbelievably, the unthinkable happened again. The baton was dropped in that race also. And for the first time in 2008, for the first time since that 400-meter relay was introduced in 1928, the United States failed to place. Why? It wasn't because they lacked talent of speed. It's because of a failed baton pass. And what I want to talk to you this morning is our responsibility of passing a baton. And I'm not talking really about a relay race, but I'm talking about moms and dads. God has entrusted to us a baton. It's not a blue piece of hollowed out metal. It's rather a baton of our legacy of faith. He's appointed us, each one of us, to run our leg in the race of eternity. But we're also mandated to successfully pass the baton of spiritual legacy. And the Bible records this. There's some tragic baton drops of people who had successfully run their part of the journey. And I'll just mention a few of them and get to the heart of the message this morning. But there's a man named Joshua in the Bible. How many are familiar with that? Just nod your head to me. Familiar with the man Joshua? Many of you probably have one of his sayings of Scripture on a plaque in your home or something like that. Joshua 24:15, I think some of you can quote it without even seeing it, but you can say it with me. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Joshua made an incredible declaration right there. And Joshua had run his own battle, fought his own fight, was a great leader, the children of Israel being able to cross into the promised land under his leadership. So he was not a slothful runner. He was doing his part, carrying the baton. But something happened in the transfer between Joshua and his children, Joshua and the next generation. For only three chapters later in the book of Judges, Joshua 24 is the last chapter of that book, goes right into the book of Judges. Judges chapter 2 verse 10. Makes a very sad statement. Joshua is 110 years old. He has died. And the next verse, this statement comes out. Judges 2 verse 10. After those people had died, their children grew up and did not know the Lord or what he had done for Israel. So they did what the Lord says was wrong. A baton drop that still we hear the clanging of from history. And the prophet Eli, again successful in his own right in the Old Testament, he was the one that Samuel was taken to as a young boy and brought up into ministry. Samuel was one of the greatest prophets of Israel. Eli was the priest, excuse me. But Eli failed with his own two sons. He did not have accountability with them. They were very wicked men, but were retaining an area of leadership. Eli was judged due to his failure on their part. He failed to pass the baton to his sons. And this morning, this is not about a guilt trip to us. It's about an encouragement time, because I believe that God wants to turn some things around in Church of the Open Door. I'm not preaching to the United States of America this morning. I'm preaching to Church of the Open Door. I'm preaching to me. I'm preaching to responsibilities that each of us have in so many areas. David, King David, again, the Bible calls him the sweet singer of Israel, man after God's own heart, yet he failed to successfully pass the baton. Absalom made choices so contrary to God to overturn his father, to seek to kill him. And finally, Solomon, another of David's son, failed to pass the baton to his descendant, Rehoboam, who became, again, a very wicked king, rebel against God, was responsible for dividing the nation of Israel into Israel and Judah, a division of the entire country. God's intention has always been multi-generational. Remember the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. See those three generations, grandfather, father, and son. That was God's intention. God's always been of this nature. The truth is, though, that each generation and each individual has to make a decision for themselves. But we or you and I are responsible to pass our baton of faith forward. Now, I do want to say this for those that may be, because there's so many levels on a Mother's Day setting. I'm aware that some of you come and there's a sadness in your heart. Maybe it's mom has already gone to be with the Lord. Maybe so this morning is a kind of reminder. I want to tell you the grace of God's here for that. Maybe it's mom that wasn't a godly mom at all, or even a good mother. And so that struggle is there. But the grace of God, if you haven't gotten to the forgiveness point there, the grace of God's here for that. Maybe it's for those that have struggled with infertility and you're in that process and the heaviness of that. Listen, I believe the grace of God is here to cover that wound. Or maybe you have a child that's going to be with the Lord. Again, I want to encourage you of the grace of God that's here for that. Maybe you're a parent of adult children, that and your adult children have made Absalom kind of decisions, or Rehoboam kind of decisions. Maybe you came to Christ later on in life, didn't have a chance to impart even in youth. Can I just tell you, the grace of God's there for that. And we're going to keep praying for our kids. We're going to keep praying for our grandbabies and all that stuff. But I want to tell you, where we are today is we can be with David, where the exclamation of Psalms 145, verse 4. David says, "One generation shall praise your works to another and shall declare your mighty acts." There's a generational, again, transfer and baton passing that's so essential. Does it work? Will it work? 2 Timothy 1, verse 5. In the New Testament, Paul writes to younger Timothy, and he said, "I remember your true faith, that faith first lived in your grandmother Lois and in your mother Eunice, and I know you now have that same faith." It's assumed by Bible commentators that it's declared in the Bible that Timothy's father was not Jewish, not of the a God follower, but he had a mom that passed the faith along. How many, that's your story, is that you had a mom that loved God and passed some of that on to you? Amen. I'm thankful mom and dad both serve God. I honor the two moms in my life. One mom, Pastor Kim, my wife, mother of my children. I honor you and love you. And thank you for the faith that you've passed on right there, and a spiritual mother in this church, and to many of you. And actually, and then my mom, I don't see her, but there she is right back there. My mom, Margie, and I'm so grateful for her life. Led me to the Lord when I was about 6 years old, and it stuck. So I told somebody I got saved, and I never got over it. So I'm still walking that out, but I'm thankful for that. And moms have an incredible place of responsibility. But this morning, the principles that I want to share, some of these will apply to all of us. Some will apply especially to us as parents on this Mother's Day. Some of you in this room, you're first generation believers, and I rejoice that you are. You're the first ones that you know of that are Jesus followers in your family line. But your responsibility is to see that you are not the last of that generation. Amen. That you've found the Lord and He's found us, and we're going to pass that on. It's every believer's mandate to pass it on. Some of these thoughts, we were at an Acquire the Fire event. I had the privilege of driving the bus for a busload of young people. Ron Luce is head of that organization that we're taking them to in Arlington probably 2 or 3 months ago. Met a man there named Pastor Doug Cherry from Carbondale, Illinois. And they, a father of 10 kids, and they teach on family matters. And sat in, and I got such inspiration. Some of these things that I'll share are thoughts that he had shared with us. Three things that I want to leave with you this morning. Number one, have something worth passing on. Life. If you don't have something worth passing on that you're fully committed to, there's a vacuum already. There's a void already. There's nothing in your hand. I must first have the baton securely in my own hand as I'm running my spiritual race. And I don't mean a baton of religious affiliation or a denominational name or church membership, even Church of the Open Door membership. I don't mean just holding on to some philosophical creed, but I'm talking about real life. 1 John 5:12 said, "He who has the Son has life. He who does not have the Son of God does not have life." And some have settled for an experience. Maybe it was 10 years ago, 5 years ago, 25 years ago. But really what I want to ask and challenge us with this morning is, where's our relationship now? Not just what I have experienced in the Lord, what am I currently experiencing in the Lord? The life thing, the life of this thing that we've got a hand on, is something that we're currently supposed to be possessing. Can I hear one amen right there? Are we sharing with our family the things that God is showing us now? Or do we just have an experience from so long ago? Now, I'm excited about what our kids and our grandkids are receiving in kids ministry and youth ministry. But really, as a church, all we can do is supplement what's going on in your house. We can add too. But vitamins are sometimes called supplements. You don't live on vitamins. You better have some real food going in. We supplement what moms and dads are doing, receiving what our kids are receiving from us at home. God did not birth kids to the church. He birthed kids to mamas and daddies. Amen. That's where we are. Deuteronomy 6, verse 6 tells us something as moms and dads. You must commit yourselves wholeheartedly to these commands that I'm giving you today. Repeat them again and again to your children. Talk about them when you're at home and when you're on the road, when you're going to bed and when you're getting up. Tie them to your hands and wear them on your forehead as reminders. Write them on the doorpost of your house and on your gates. What commands? In the context, back up just 2 verses, verse 4, and I'll just give part of that. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Verse 5, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength. The word of God needs to be coming from us as parents, not just the kids' church teachers. Amen. Woo. I don't know if you're convinced yet or not. Are we convinced? Amen. Absolutely. But it's the power of God in us, that resurrection life abiding in us, that equips and empowers us to live out the will of God and the word of God It's not our, but if it's out of our own personal, on fire relationship with Jesus that we have that prepares our track for the kids to run on, our children to run on, more than just telling our kids what we know, we need to give them what we have in our hearts. That's important, parents and grandparents. Number two, make the passing of the baton a priority. It's crucial. If we just let it happen, we'll see. Surely our kids are going to gain something by osmosis. They will gain something. But if we're not intentional, it won't be intentionally handed off. Here's the way it works in a relay race. There's a point where both runners are running at full speed. The one that's carrying the baton, the other one gets up to that speed. Now, it's impractical to think that front runner that's fixing to receive the baton can, while running at full speed, turn around and look at the one he's going to receive the baton from and stay in his 27-inch wide lane. Both of them running at full speed. And then the time comes for the exchange. Without making eye contact, I didn't understand this, but in reading this week, I understand that the signal is generally one word that's shouted from the runner with the baton to the runner who's going to receive it, and it's stick, stick. And when that back runner places that baton, lays it in the hand of the one who's taken it, that exchange, again, is crucial. Those of us that have kids, we need to be hearing the word stick, stick, get it to them. Don't wait for some other opportunity. But that thing that goes on, the receiver's hand has come back. If we're blessed with children, whether they're naturally born to us, whether they're adopted, whether they're foster children, whether we're caring for our grandchildren, and there are others who've come under our influence that may not be in that same positional relationship. Understand that passing of the baton is, for us, it's more than what would take place in a 1 or 2 second interval on a track. It's a process. Stick, passing the baton, is for us a process, but it needs to be still an intentional passing, an intentional transfer. I read that from a recent George Barna poll. I think maybe it was 2009. Parents who consider themselves to be born again, Christians, they were asked what the most important things were that they desired for their children. The results of that survey, surprisingly, 70% of those parents didn't say anything about their kids having a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. Can I tell you that troubles me? I believe that the most important virtue I can pass to my children, my grandchildren, most important legacy that my grandfather passed on to me, was that of a relationship with Jesus. Not a passive setback, just barely try to have enough of God to get to heaven. Please don't just pass on fire insurance to your kids. Don't want to go to hell. No, no. Pass on a different kind of fire. Fire of the Holy Spirit that's burning on the inside of you. When our goal better not just be that our kids have the greatest education, greatest vocational training, or any of that. It better be, number one, that we've passed a baton of faith. I wish I could get some help in here this morning. A baton of faith and a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Because all those other things are temporary. But we get this right, God can set those other things in order too. Amen. If our goal, if that isn't even on our spiritual radar, like 70% of these parents, it wasn't apparently. It certainly won't be an intentional priority. And I'm saying let's make it intentional. Now, like one of the things that this Pastor Cherry said, I'm more and more sure of one thing as I watch teens all around me. They will take someone's baton. They'll take somebody's baton. They'll get their priorities from somebody. Their character is going to be developed by someone. And their morals and standards for living will come from someone. Are we going to give them intentionally our baton that relates to these? Or are we going to let them get it from the most popular singer of the moment, the best rap artist of the time. Are we gonna abdicate our responsibility? I for one, I'm saying no, absolutely not. I have some more moms and dads that say no, not just gonna leave this thing to chance. We're gonna be intentional. The question is, again, whose baton will they receive? Yours? I trust so. Proverbs 22, verse 6. Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he's old, he will not depart from it. Train up a child the way. And really, I don't think this scripture is implying an excursion into the world and coming back. I believe there's a training that needs to happen, that we can walk this thing out in God's grace covering our kids. But I want to break down three of those words here. The word train up a child, it means to dedicate, to set apart, and consecrate to God or a sacred purpose. Set apart to the will of God. Train up the child in the way. That word way, it means a source of life direction, source of a moral character. Train up a child in the way he should go. Please do not try to relive your dreams or accomplish your own fulfillment through your kids. Train them according to God's plan, the way that child should go. Now, I got two daughters, and they're very different in personalities. In some of those areas, there was a different direction for them going from one another. With your kids, train up a child in the way he should go or she should go. That specific thing from God. Training is more than telling. And I get one witness right there. Because we as parents, we're real good at telling. Look over at somebody and said, you know he's talking to you. Telling, kids will just send it to the mama, I'm pretty sure. No, I don't do that. But training is more than merely telling or speaking other information. Don't use that line with your kids. Don't do as I do as I say. Don't use that line. Because what you do either underlines or crosses out. Throw that up on the screen, if you will. What you do either underlines or crosses out what you say. If what I'm saying and what I'm doing are lining up, I'm underlining that. That really believes that. If what I'm saying and what I'm doing are contradicting one another, you just crossed out even the good things that you said. Amen. Maybe I should save this for another service. Where more the Sunday morning, if we really want to go here. I know I really feel like we needed to go some places today. We may have one reputation outside of our houses, but our kids know how we really are. We need to live in such a way that we don't worry about what the kids tell the kids' church workers. Now, they have a saying that if you won't believe everything your kids tell you about them, they won't believe everything your kids tell them about you. But that, I'm going to move on with that. Okay. Our motivation for doing right is not what our kids are telling somebody else. It's doing right. Amen. How guarded are we with the attitudes that we have toward each other? When driving down the road and you see something and you speak out something that's crass or rude, can I tell you, your little recorders that are sitting in the back seat are listening? They're hearing that. So you know what drives you crazy? It's when your kids get a little bit up and they start saying things that sound just like you. Uh-oh. Wish I hadn't been going that way. Are we guarding about the words that we use? Are we guarding about the TV programs that we watch? And the things, are we guarding about the things that we laugh at? Because our kids are, man, they're like sponges. They're just recording that stuff and videoing that stuff. We get to set the pattern by how we train them. Our kids, again, are like soft, pliable clay. But once clay is left out and dried up into some form, it can take a much longer and more difficult process to break it, crumble it up, introduce moisture again to it, and reshape it. Don't give in to the deceptive lie of hell. I've heard parents talk about this. The lie of hell says, how can you tell them not to do this or that when you did those things when you were a teen. Hello. Now I'm getting down where you live, where we live. How can you tell your kids don't do this? Because you know when you were 16 years old, you were out doing crazy. Listen, because you're smarter, wiser, and more saved now. You can tell your kids from a different level of responsibility. Do not let hell mute your mouth because of your own failures. Thank God my failures have taught me. I don't want my kids duplicating those. Amen. So we don't have to sit back and say, well, let our kids just learn on their own. No, mamas and daddies, we got a responsibility to help shape them. What I will tell them, I will train them, I will teach them, I will restrict them, and I will encourage them. God did not call you, mom or dad, to be your child's best friend. You're their parent, your best bud. If you're so concerned about having your son or daughter like you, there's some times, pretty sure girls didn't particularly like me, us. I'm going to put my wife in there too. I don't want it just to be me. Because we had shared responsibility. It wasn't wait till your daddy gets home and he's going to give you a whipping or something. No, no, no. Mom, don't get rid of your authority. Both of you better share that in mom and dad's homes. And when mom and dad are both in the same home, and you better have authority. Again, our goal isn't to be our kid's best friend. Ultimately, over time, friendship can develop at a different level. But here's the example, the training, teaching, telling. If when you get angry, if you yell or you throw things or you cuss somebody out or you pout or you leave, what are you training your kids to do? Man, if somebody calls you on your phone and somebody calls me and Austin picks up my cell phone and I whisper to him to tell him I'm not home, what have I just trained him to do? To lie? Oh, we don't want to call it lying, though. Listen, but that's exactly what you're doing. Clerk at the store gave you $10 too much, and you go out and you recognize and you say, whoa, what a blessing. God knew I needed that $10. What have you just taught your child to do? To be a thief, to steal, and then to bring God into it. You ought to go slap yourself in the face right there. Just, what am I thinking? Get yourself back in there. And I'm so thankful for those of you. Y'all are messing with people because I know you take your stuff back in. Oh, hey, I didn't pay for this. What are you doing? When they put something extra in your basket or left something or overlooked, thank you for having integrity. If, as a single mom or dad, I move in with someone of the opposite sex to live with them as though we were married, what have I trained my daughters or sons to do? To engage in sexual immorality, and that covenant under God doesn't matter. I'm very grateful for those. Some that had started out even making those decisions that way, had come to Christ, had meetings with their kids and said, you know what? This is no more. We did that wrong. We're not sleeping together, blah, blah, blah. And I'm not, but I point out to couples who went back and became sexually celibate, then got married, went back about it the right way. Thank God. So not everything is undoable, but we better start where we are and teaching and training by example. First of all, amen. Do not let hell rob you of these opportunities that we currently have right now. If we tell our kids that Jesus is the most important person in our lives, but for any distraction, any and all sporting events, any get-togethers or whatever comes up, we choose to stay out of church, what's the pattern that we're setting for our kids to follow? The priority that we place on being in the house of God will be reflected in our kids. Listen, well, preacher, what are you doing saying this right before summer? We're going to take a vacation. Take it. I tell people, have a great time. Listen, but I'm talking about a pattern of lifestyle that puts God at a lot less priority than we want instilled. Hello, we're holding this thing, guys, and it will work for us if we will begin to be intentional as we walk through our everydayness. And there may be, moms and dads, you can say, I don't have to be in church every time the doors are open to go to heaven. See, I read my Bible and I pray, and I want to say really quickly, I agree with you. You don't have to be. But let me also quickly add that your kids, your teens, may not have the same spiritual resolve and stability that you feel you have. In other words, with your age, you're maturing in the Lord, you may be able to spiritually survive that way, at least for a while. But consider that even in the natural, a baby, a newborn baby has to eat every few hours. Don't just think, well, I'll get my kids back in church next month when things kind of settle down. We better do what we can with the time that we have with our kids now, because it doesn't last very long. And what we do now is so crucially important. I'm watching parents right now that are losing their kids by default. It's not that these parents are wicked parents, but it's as though they're unaware of the devil's strategy. They're not even showing up for the fight. Don't realize that struggle is going on. Again, parents, I've probably said this within the last couple of months along this line, but parents, see what's in your kids' rooms, what's on their iPods, what's on their phones. Check out their Facebook. Check out their Instagram. How many parents you know your kids or teens' passwords on computer and phone? Can I see your hands in here? I know I can't remember it right now. I have to ask Kim. Thank you for knowing that. If you do not, if you cannot, and some of you couldn't raise your hand because you got nobody at home, no kids at home that way, and that's fine too. Somebody said, hallelujah, amen. But I'm just saying, I will just take one comment here. Those who have said about the empty nest syndrome, man, I'd really dealt with that probably maybe 15 minutes until my girls were gone about 15 minutes, and then it kind of went away. I'm kidding. I love my kids, my daughters, granddaughters, all son-in-laws. But I'm telling you, I'm not grieving over that. Check their computers. Here, if your kids, Facebook. Uh-oh, did I say that backwards? I don't know what I said. I can get the CD, I guess. If it was wrong, I didn't mean it. It was a slip. I misspoke. If your kids have Snapchat, get that off of their phones. Snapchat, what's Snapchat? Help me, Kim, if I'm telling it wrong. You're in youth. That's where they can post pictures or send messages, and within so many seconds, it's deleted with no record. And that's what kids, I'm not even going to ask, how many of you have Snapchat on your phone, because there's teens in here and youth. I'm not going to put you there. You're going to lie about it anyway. Now, if you got it on there, you're not going to say. I'm saying that there is no reason to have that, except that you're trying to cover up your trails. And the tendency is, and the plague is sending wrong pictures, wrong messages, and then it's deleted. It's not let your kids have Snapchat. There's a few more. I can't name all of those. Check their computer, which doesn't need to be in a private place anyway. The computer, I'll just tell you this. The computer in my office, the screen faces the door of my office with the glass on it. In my office at home, the computer faces the door. What I'm saying is we all can use accountability. Accountability is not your enemy, it's your friend. And so for many with phones and all this, you need some kind of protective program on, maybe filters, covenant eyes or something. And some, I'm not just talking to kids now, I'm talking to parents as well. But know what internet sites your kids have been on. And if you say, I don't want to invade their privacy, excuse me, are they living under your roof? Or am I confused about something? I'm 21 years old. And whose roof are you under? I'm sorry, I don't mean to. Listen, if they're living in your house, you have responsibility, moms and dads. Don't buy into the craziness that's out in our culture. We just don't invade their privacy. Get a job. Do something. Go. But listen, here's the truth. You don't have to be rude. You don't have to be a tyrant or an ogre. Please don't be that way, parents. But monitor what's going on. What I'm telling you is there's too much at stake. Somebody's baton is getting put in their hand, whether they've gripped it yet or not. The enemy's trying to put something there. And this about the way we do this leads to my last point. Number three is this: maintain the relational connections. God did not put you as a parent to be the prison warden. We have to maintain relational connections with our kids, and that has to be done so deliberately. And as I speak to you, I don't speak to you as an expert. I speak to you as a fellow traveler, one who's watched a lot of things done right and a lot of things done wrong. And I want to just bring in a few things together that God can spark and multiply those things for your personal situation. But maintaining the relational connection with our kids as they're growing is so important. And it's not automatic. Again, it has to be deliberate. Somebody accurately said that rules without relationship produces rebellion. We create rules, but we don't have the relational connections. We're fostering, we're setting our kids up to rebel, and we don't want to do that at all. We've got to have heart connections with our kids. There's a lot of different family mixtures here, and I'm aware of that. Blended families, stepchildren, grandparents raising grandkids, single parents raising kids, probably the most difficult job in the entire universe. But I commend you, as some of you, I watch you do this thing. I watch that single mom who only came to Christ probably within the last 2 years. But watching that son and daughter develop a relationship with the Lord. How come? Because mom is modeling this at home. And she's getting them in the house of God. And she's taking what supplements that are here as well. I commend you for doing those things. And that's moms and dads, as well as single moms, single dads, that are doing things in a godly way for the kids. The applicable truth for all these is that a proper baton pass won't be made unless there's a heart connection. Because it's not just getting it in a hand, it's something happening in the heart. Ephesians 6, verse 4. First three verses relate to kids, and the last one relates to us as parents. Number one, children, verse 1, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with you, and you may live long on the earth. Verse 4, and you fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath, but bring them up in the training and admonition of the Lord. To provoke, and I believe this relates to moms as well, as this is Mother's Day, and I'm talking to a variety of people. This provoking, it seems to be a reference instructing us not to unnecessarily irritate our kids. When we address our kids out of anger or bitterness or unnecessary harshness or roughness, we may need to reevaluate that. And we may need to apologize. We may need to ask some forgiveness from our kids. Any other parents ever done that with our kids? It doesn't lower you. It exalts you when our kids see this. See, discipline is essential, but it should be fair, and it should be consistent, and it should be loving. I'm not talking about child abuse things. I'm talking about consistent, fair, loving discipline ought to be part of our training of our kids. The Bible teaches us that even God disciplines us who are His children. I know that may not fit with some of your theology, but it's true. It's in the Bible. It's in the New Testament. But who can... And the words discipline and disciple have a common bridge and meaning right there. Who can legitimately of us question God's love for us, even in His discipline? Amen. His love is consistent, but His discipline is for our benefit. The Bible teaches us that those relational connections with our kids are important, as that multi-generationalness of God is released. I'm about to close. Becky, if you'll slip up here. Create talk times. If you can, eat at least one meal a day together as family. Let me qualify that. You said we do that. We all take our plates in the living room. We watch TV, right? That's family time for us. Don't do that. One meal a day if it's possible. What days you can, at least turn off the TV. Don't answer your phones or your text, and don't let your kids do it. Deliberately, moms, dads, deliberately make it pleasant. This isn't where you're reviewing every wrong that your teen or your child has done through the week. Make that pleasant. At mealtimes, In the book of 1 Timothy, Scripture speaks of receiving our food with thanksgiving and prayer. Seek to break the ritual of just a rote prayer. God's great, God's good, let's thank God's food, amen. Whatever. You know, and we have more longer ritual prayer. But just be deliberate about God connecting at that time too. Speak blessing over our families. Now, if I get too long at mealtime and pray that way, my wife reminds me, this is not your personal prayer time. You need to do that some other time too. So you don't extend it like the food's cold and now everybody's asleep. And so, but I just wanted to drop that to his parents. Can you do that? You feel like we could be, it won't happen accidentally. That's on purpose too. Be sensitive. This thing about heart connections is be sensitive to windows of opportunity with our kids. That's not always there. Would you throw that up on the screen? Be sensitive to windows of opportunity. Those open and they close. And it may not always be at some structured time. Maybe let God help you be sensitive. When a window to your teen opens, pass through that carefully. Ron Luce said something that I thought was interesting. He says he seeks to stay alert by watching his children's emotions, watching their words and actions, and knows to lean in to their lives when he can tell they're being pulled away from the heart connection that God ordains between parents and children. So as parents, sometimes we got to lean in. Sometimes, the reason I looked over here, Austin is the son that we're raising for a couple of years now, foster, in a setting like that, and I'm proud of him. But I need to understand when sometimes there's a pulling back that I kind of need to lean on in, and I need to be asking questions, and I need to be investing some more in his life. Do you know what I'm saying? I'm just talking about being intentional about heart connections. The devil desires to disconnect us from our kids. He's doing a really good job of it. But for Open Door and the ones that we now together responsible with today, we want to turn some things around. And if it's turned around in our own homes, then that needs to be. If it's turned around for the influence we have with others to encourage and help them, so be that. Two things. Whoever has the heart of our children will have their ear. And whoever has their ear will have their destiny. Who has the heart? So I want their heart. I want their ear, because God has a destiny for our kids, our grandkids. Amen. And I'm just going to get ready to close here. Parents, there's a race that we're running. And there's a baton that you are carrying. Nobody else has your particular baton. What you going to do with it? For singles and for youth that are in here, you're not excluded from the responsibility, because if you could visualize in your hand this baton as well, you have one. But those that are empty nesters and your kids are grown and out of the house, there's still a responsibility. For those that are elders among us, thank you for carrying your baton faithfully and transferring the process of transfer that is affecting influence in my life as well. Your faith in Jesus is transferable. What are you doing with your baton? Can we bow our hearts together this morning? Father, I thank you for parents that are in this place. We understand that the challenge for our generation is different than every other. While there's been evil always since the fall of Adam and Eve, still we see such an intensification. God, I pray for moms, and I pray for dads. I pray for grandparents raising grandchildren. I pray for others that are raising children that may not biologically even be their own. But Lord, would you train us, number one, to draw close to you, that we can be supernaturally empowered parents, that we are not limited by our own upbringing, however our parents may have failed. No matter how good our parents have done, we're not limited by that. Lord, let us draw on the resources of heaven.
power of the Holy Spirit to give us insights into our boys and our girls and our young teens, our young men, our young ladies, our young adults, kids that are still at home. Give us wisdom to make the right heart connections. Give us the determination to model in front of them and to confess it when and repent of it when we failed. Give us the wisdom, oh God, that we would lack in any of these areas by your power. Because, Lord, there's a generation that arose after Joshua that did not know the Lord. Don't let that be said of us, that we dropped the baton. It was our opportunity to pass it. And we were too busy. And we were too distracted. And we were too caught up in our own affairs and interests to invest in our kids and those around us, even that we were supposed to be influencing. Forgive us, oh God, where we've missed it. Listen, don't carry guilt past right now. If you're a parent in here, all of us as parents can look back and say, God, forgive me, I missed it there. I missed it. But if you haven't, and you've got that baggage of guilt on your shoulder right now, give that to the Lord. God, forgive me for where I blew it in the past, where I didn't do what I should have done, or I did what I shouldn't have done. God, forgive me and cleanse me and wash me of that. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. And if that's where you are, I want you to begin to thank God for his forgiveness right now. Thank you, Lord, that even though I blew it, I thank you, Lord, for your covering and releasing me from that, forgiving me. And pray for our kids, Lord, that you step in. But now we will not use that weight as an excuse. We let that go. Now we thank you for helping us rise up beyond where we've been. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Never preached a message exactly like this on Mother's Day, and seem weird to you if you pick something up that's beneficial, take that and let any weird stuff go. It's okay. Here's the challenge. I can't pass on what I don't have. I kind of started with that. This morning, if you don't have a relationship with Jesus, I'm talking about a real relationship with him, where you understand what Jesus did on the cross, and you also understand your lostness. Because without Jesus in us, the Bible says we are wicked and sinners by nature. Let me clarify one thing. And we sing a lot of songs. It's did today, your love never fails, or it goes on and on and on. Listen, the love of God won't force you into a relationship with Jesus. He loves people that are by their own determination going to hell. Do you believe that? And if, because that's the direction all of us were headed, except for that love of God that came and gave us opportunity again for repentance and allowing Jesus to come and do two things. One is to forgive every sin, all our failures of the past. Thank God for that. The second thing, when Jesus comes in, he begins the transforming work. Jesus called it being born again, a new birth. The transformation and that process that God is working in us by his power. How beautiful that is. That we walk away, the past, the line is drawn, and then God helps us go forward, even from some past patterns that hell had wrapped us up in. Salvation is a free gift. Would you receive what his love has offered? Because the receiving, the taking of the baton is your part. If he's extended the baton, I can let it drop. Or the offer that God has made to you, young person, single person, husband, wife, elder, the offer that God makes is here. Would you take this? He's run this far, but he won't run your leg of the race. He will give this and empower us to take the next step on the journey. With your eyes closed for just a moment, if you're here today,
Prayer teams, would you come and join me again across this front, please? If you're here today, you said, I'm not in relationship with Jesus. I've run my own race. I've run in my own lane. But today you want to turn it around, turn your heart and life over to Jesus, or turn it back to the Lord. Some of you used to walk with Jesus. Stuff happened. You pull back. You've gone your own way. The Bible says, God said, return to me. Return to me and I'll return to you. Would you, if that's any of these relate to you, would you just slip your hand up and say, today's my day. I want to start it for the first time, or I want to start over. Thank you. Thank you, ma'am. Some more that would just slip your hand up. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Can you stand all through this room? Listen, some of your moms and dads said, I need to know how to pray for my kids. Listen, it's just simply and out of a father's heart and a mother's heart, God, touch my son, my daughter. Restore them to you. Touch that grandchild. Don't enable them, but release God to do what he wants to with them through that. Some of you raise your hands if you want to, if you slip out and come. While this worship team sings, feel wherever you're at in this congregation, while we begin to worship God again, feel free to step out and come. This is your moment of decision and the beginning of a new journey. Incredibleness of God. Thank God for his great grace. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. We love you. We love you, Lord. We love you, Lord. Thank you. Amazing grace, amazing love. Thank you, Lord.
There is no love sweeter than the love you pour on me.
Yeah, yeah, thank you.
There is no song sweeter than the song.
This to be true in us, this next part.
There is no place.
Develop that,
that
in us.
I would rather.
And by be your grace, empower us to lay that before you.
Then here at your feet, laying down everything.
Oh, Lord Jesus. God, that area right there, such a struggle to me. God, would you come? I acknowledge it. I confess it as sin. If God's